So, hi, I'm Michael. I'm on the membership working group since 2016, and I wanted to do a presentation not only about the membership working group, but about the system of the working groups in general on the OSMF. So I'll start by introducing what is a working group. I'll then tell a bit more about the working group I know, about my experiences, activities, what we did in about last year. We had an incident which was quite widely known, which Guillaume will tell you a bit more about it. And of course, in the end, we will like to motivate you to participate in our awesome working group or in some other OpenStreetMap Foundation working group. So I hope most of you know what the OpenStreetMap Foundation is. The OpenStreetMap Foundation is just this tiny little dot in the huge OpenStreetMap community, which is embedded in the even larger OpenStreetMap global movement with all the consumers of our data. The OpenStreetMap Foundation holds the trademark. They own the servers. They keep the servers running for mapping, for our activities. Next to the OSMF, we also have lots of other small groups which are organized as associations, like the local chapters or special interest groups. And so the OSMF is a necessity. It's there to support the OpenStreetMap project, but it is not like controlling the OpenStreetMap project. Inside the OpenStreetMap Foundation, we have the board. And apart from the board, there are the working groups, which are doing kind of the work, the real work that is done. It's all volunteer driven, so almost nobody gets paid. It's a construct to organize the effort to get together all the different volunteers around one specific aspect. We also need this formalization to get some access control, so you get special special access, like to the membership register if you're in the membership working group, and of course you have to sign some paperwork which says what you can do and what you can't do with your special access. But like the conclusion of all this is, if nobody wants to do it, it doesn't get done, because we are not employees. The board cannot tell us really what to do, because, well, we can just move on. And of course, there is some feeling of obligation, but you will also see that oftentimes things can take very long until they are done in the working groups. So as an example, the membership working groups, what's our duties? Well, we tend to register, obviously. That means we answer routine questions like, is my membership still valid? Or could I change my address? Can you update my email address? We also support the voting by telling the votes, and we try to grow the membership. I talked about access. Of course, we get access to the membership register with all the details. We get power to do renewals, to add and remove members. And for that, we, of course, need to sign this non-disclosure agreement. There are a lot of other working groups. We have the operations working group. I said OSMF is running the servers. Those are the great guys who look after the servers and make that everything is running smoothly, that we can map at any hour of the day. We just had a presentation from someone from the licensing working group. There's the data working group, which is for vandalism and similar topics. We have an engineering working group. We have a communication working group. And of course, without them, we wouldn't be here, the State of the Map Organizing Committee. How does the membership working group work? So I joined in 2016. I was told by then that the group was restarted for the third time, so that's kind of a risk that it all fizzles out, that all the people that were on a working group just walked away. I got some introduction to CVCRM, which is the open software we use for the register. I got the introduction by the board members, because what the working groups don't do, that falls back onto the board members somehow. I just learned to answer some of the questions. But good to know for the for signing up, so when you renew your membership, this is fully automatic with PayPal, so there we have not so much to do, that's great. We also administer the OSMF talk mailing list, which is for OSMF members only, so we can subscribe people who want to be on that mailing list. And of course we do have regular, or more or less regular meetings. We meet online and discuss certain topics, problems we have, and how we can do better in the future, new things. What we did about in the last year, we had some long-standing mail problems. You get some reminder mails when you need to renew your membership, because, well, it's once a year, it's easy to forget, but really badly it turns out some of those mails were not sent out. We had quite a long time to track that error down, but quite persistent. But yeah, we were luckily able to fix it with some external help. We were also writing down procedures. Like I said, in the beginning I was taught by someone from the board how to do all these things. It wasn't written down, so now we have at least a little bit of introduction for new members of the membership working groups, how to operate. It's not that much, but it's good when it's written down. We introduced OTRS for handling our day-to-day tasks. We got a lot more to do when we introduced the fee waiver program. We all needed to look at all the applicants, and that just didn't work out anymore like we operated before, with just mailing stuff around like, yeah, I'll answer that, I have answered this, and does somebody know that? And now we have this this software for support requests. It's originally other working groups were already using it, so it was quite easy for us to piggyback on that and also use that software. We improved the membership working group page, which was practically empty before. Now we have at least a little bit of text, and we got the fee waiver program. More on that. That's actually quite an old thing. It was from 2014, a resolution which was then accepted by the members of the OSMF. And it was the task of the membership working group to make some procedures around them. The fee waiver program says we can accept members without paying the usual membership fee if they have no option to pay because lack of banking facilities, or if it's just an unreasonable financial burden, because £15 can be a lot of money in certain parts of the world. And we had some things already in place, like we have the list from where PayPal is not available. That's a sure thing that they just don't have it available to be a member that easily. We had a form for people to apply for the fee waiver, but we were really stuck for years on some other things, like the fee waiver says the person had to contribute something else of value to the OSMF, and that's a really soft condition and very hard to see it objectively, to test it objectively, and also to have a rule for financial hardship. How can we define if £15 for that particular person is enough or not? So before the elections in 2018, someone insisted on being accepted under the fee waiver program, which kind of put us in higher gear. So we had to hurriedly roll that out with the help of the board. We finalized the money transfer case. We selected for the something else of value, the same as we have in the active contributor clause in our contribution guidelines, which just says you have to have contributed in 3 different months in the last year to be regarded as an active contributor. And for the other financial hardship case, we rely on the board to decide on a case-by-case basis. So I hand over to Guillaume.
Thank you. So one big thing we had on the membership working group last year was just before the board election, there was this big, big wave of new users, and they were all associate members. Just quick show of hands, who's an OSMF member? Hello. yeah, join us. So as most of you apparently know, we have 2 kinds of membership, associate and, oh dear, what's the other one?
Normal members.
Normal members, thank you. I should know this. And all of them were associate members. All of them had Gmail email addresses. All of them had Gmail addresses. All of them were from India. And the IP addresses of those accounts were associated with one company. So I saw this. It was a pure coincidence that I saw this. It was just before the election. And the French community had a great campaign to, hey, we are underrepresented in the OSMF. We should do something about it. And lots of them signed up. So I was wondering, are other countries underrepresented? Can we check? And I found out that there was one country that was highly overrepresented, and then it was very fresh. So I notified the board. The board decided that when you sign up as a member, there are 7 days where the foundation can reject your membership. So I asked the board, hey, should we reject these and see what's up? The board did not reject the memberships. Then I notified the other candidates and said, hey, should we talk to the board? And we 5 of the candidates for the board sent a letter to the board. And then it turned out that those people, they thought they had signed up just in time to vote for the election. There's a cutoff date of 30 days before the election. Where you have to be a member so that you can vote, and they signed up just after because of a misunderstanding that I thought it was the day after. So it turns out they couldn't vote, And so after the election, the membership working group decided to investigate, and we produced a report, and it's 22 pages, sorry. Who's read it? Show of hands. Of course you. Yeah, and so it's quite long, and we concluded that it was an orchestrated campaign by one company, that the company was not being truthful. There were several contradictions and things that just didn't make sense in what we were being told. And we concluded that it was probably aimed at influencing the election. How? We don't know. Who was behind it? We don't know. I'm not going to go through the 22 pages. You can, if you have trouble falling asleep, you can read them. But I'm going to go through the key evidence. So one thing we were really lucky to have is we had a control group. Like when you decide if a medicine is good or not, you have a control group that gets the placebo. And so we were really lucky. We had about 100 French people sign up in the last few days. And they were showing very different patterns, and the French group understood the deadline correctly, and the Indian group didn't, but I made the same mistake. But also it was a lot more concentrated in one big wave, and the French group, it took a few email and a few tweets and everything to encourage people to join, and it was a lot more spread out, so that was quite different. And then we thought, you know, why don't we contact them? So we wrote an email to all of them. Welcome to the OpenStreetMap Foundation. A lot of you have joined. And what happened and what made you decide to, and so on. And we sent the same email in French and in English to the two groups. And the response we got was quite different. The French group replied very quickly and had suggestions, and they all had very different messages. Some of them were one-liners, others were like pages. And the Indian group, they trickled in at one per day after a week, and they all looked pretty similar. Some of them even used the same words. Steve Friedel, who co-wrote the report with me, we were laughing because an email came in and we were betting on whether it would have the word mandatory in it. It did. Another thing we found is that many people signed up writing the name in lowercase. And you have one of them, that's normal, that's not nothing. But there we had, all of a sudden, 21 people working at the same company entering their names in lowercase, and we compared that with the we thought it might be a cultural thing, so we compared with other Indian members of the USMF. We find that they were just like everyone else, entering a mix of uppercase and lowercase, but mostly with the first letter in uppercase. So we concluded that this was almost certainly someone typing in the names from a list, doing all the memberships one by one. And it was complete luck that we had these control groups, that we were able to find that evidence, that we saw the problem was there in the first place. And complete luck that there was a misunderstanding in the deadline. But what happened next? So we wrote that report and then sent it out to the board and then to everyone. At MWG, we tightened the procedures. We now check when you enter a username. We check it's a valid OpenStreetMap username. We ask for the employer. We have reports coming out. When you become a member, MWG will get an alert, because before that we had no idea what was happening in CVCRM. If you don't go to check, you don't see anything. Now we get reports and all other kinds of stuff which help us have a better idea of what's happening. And then the board contacted Global Logic to discuss this, and in the end we got a list of employees, and Global Logic agreed to cancel, I think was the verb used, to cancel the memberships. And we took that list, we compared that with our list, contacted the people. And five of them asked, you know, I'd like to stay. So we let them stay, and every other membership has been cancelled. But there's also stuff that's going to happen next. We're going to keep improving the procedures, the checks, the data you enter when you become a member. We are going to do more reporting so we can keep a better eye. We're going to validate the email addresses maybe. And we thought maybe have a checkbox that says my employer is paying for my membership. Things like that. We don't have all ideas. So if you have ideas, raise your hand after the talk. And we are also with the board talking about updating the articles of association. Joost and I shared ice cream the other day discussing that. For example, the delay, the 7-day delay to cancel a membership is quite short, actually, to have a look at what's happening. So to lengthen that to 30 days, I think. To give us a better chance of reacting. Things like that. So the articles of association are being looked at. And something that we should discuss as a community is what is a member, and how do you define membership? Is it enough to just pay a membership fee? Or some other communities, for example, OSGO and HOT, have a requirement that you have to be invited to become a voting member. Another group, the Document Foundation, the people doing LibreOffice, they have a requirement that to become a voting member, you have to have, they call it skin in the game. You have to have a certain contribution to qualify as a voting member. And I like that more than having a group that's by invitation, because anyone can map their way into the voting members, and it limits the people involved in taking the decisions to people who really are involved in the process. How do we define skin in the game? Is it number of edits? Some people do great stuff on OpenStreetMap but don't edit a lot, so we have to find flexible ways. But I think that's a conversation that would be interesting to have. That's it from me. Over to you.
Yeah, I think we're open for questions now.
We have more slides. Let's have the. Could we have all the questions at the end? Thank you.
Okay. So should I do the outlook? So I think most of it, Guillaume has already said from the perspective of that the membership. So to grow the membership, we want to improve the membership fee waiver program. As I said, it's not really finished. It's a very manual process for the financial hardship case. That's the point where I have to say we are very open to people who are interested in these topics to come join us. You don't have to join formally to work on any of these topics. You can just contribute as you like. You can become a formal member of the membership working group, however you like. Other things we want to is publish regularly updated statistics. That's also for the general public to see fluctuations and just strange things, pick them up. We have the point of growing the membership. If you have paid attention, we have done really nothing about that. There was one effort of a membership drive, which was spearheaded by the communications working group, I think. So just put an ad on the OSM main page, hey, you should become a member of the OSMF. But apart from that, that's really a broad topic. We would be awesome if people would work on that. we want to do a membership self-service area. People are a little bit uncomfortable that, like, yeah, now I'm a member, but I don't have a login or anything, so you can't even see for yourself that you're, what the status of your membership is. That would be awesome for the feedback. And we want to have a badge on the OpenStreetMap.org main page, because that's also sometimes a request now. I'm a member of the OSMF. Hey, I want to show or I want to prove to the world that I am a member of the OSMF, which we can't do at the moment as well. So please join, yeah?
Please join. You can work on anything that you find interesting in our list.
We think that if you want to be on the membership working group, it would be great if you have at least one day a month time, because these things just take time. It will fizzle out if you don't reserve a little bit of time for it. To get access, of course, to the membership register and so on, you need to sign a non-disclosure agreement, but you can also work on certain topics where you don't need access. Oh, sorry, we're over time. Just work out of your own initiative. That would be great. Thanks.
Do we have time for questions?
That's why I stopped you, just one second. So, I know, I haven't forgotten about you, don't worry. No, that's for later. So these guys have done an incredible job this year, and that's important, but I think they need some help. I think they said there's some technology issues there. We're a super smart community. I think that could help. Reading all of the fee waivers as board members, we have to read all of those, right? And you guys did that manually before. So there's a lot of processes that you've documented, which is really important. So I always make a plea to have people join working groups if you can to help support. But we have time for about two questions, and then we're going to do the group photo. Oh, Dermot, you're going to make me run upstairs. Well, I promised aerobics.
Just, I'll be quick about this one, but it concerns Michael, you were saying, talking about what it is that we think membership is. One of the questions that we often hear within the community is, why be a member? And I think it's worth reflecting, Guillaume, you gave us a very good answer to that, because with a relatively small membership of the foundation relative to the number of mappers, it does leave these important decisions, whether or not people choose to join the foundation, they are effectively bound by decisions made by the foundation. So the actual makeup of the board and decisions that get made within the board of the foundation, the best way to resist this kind of manipulation is by joining. And I think it's probably just everyone should have that as a takeaway of what we heard today.
Absolutely. It's the best defense, as you said. It's also important that we get broad representation get more good ideas, and also be it's difficult when a small group takes decisions that affect a lot of people, so the more we are, the better it is.
Yeah, I plus one on the plea to join OpenStreetMap Foundation and to do that in a positive way, but I also think we joined Open Source Initiative this year, right? There are other people who have open organizations who do membership, so what can we learn from them in terms of best practices? And if we need to change our model, that's really up to what a member is. That's up to the membership working group to do it. The board is taking recommendations from the working groups. That's how the power dynamic works here. So if you want to affect change, that's got to be happening, helping support these gentlemen that are working on it and other folks in the group. One last question before we do photos. I know you all want to take photos. Simon. I don't even have to know. I memorized where you were sitting. Very quick, Simon, okay?
The question's quick. I don't know whether the answer is quick. In the end, after this incident, do you have any idea what the motivation was and what they expected to achieve? Because that's the big mystery there. It doesn't really make sense, as far as I can tell.
I would love to know. I've kind of accepted I'm never going to know. Steve is still like, what do you think? Talk to me outside if you have an idea.
I don't know if we should do conspiracy theories. What I would really like to do, though, is solve problems. And I think you guys' process-oriented approach teaches us how we can actually prepare and plan and mitigate.
I think in the end, it doesn't matter what was behind it. What matters is that it was detected and it was dealt with. And if you go to the Wikipedia page of Global Logic, you're going to see a section on OpenStreetMap. And so it's really bad for your reputation to mess with OpenStreetMap. Don't do it.
Honestly, everyone's a member. Be a good member. I think that's the summary. Right? Be a good member. Whoever you are, yeah. Be a good member of OpenStreetMap.
Yeah.